You thought Millard, Kyprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. The best NHL analysis and insight. It's what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Ahead of a dozen games in the National Hockey League tonight, it's Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, Doug McLean. Later on in the show, we'll have our three stars from last night, a two-gamer, and Damian Cox on the mood around Air Canada Centre and the Toronto Maple Leafs, who host the Buffalo Sabres tonight. But out of the gate, we have some breaking news involving a couple of teams that will deal with trying circumstances tonight. Columbus Blue Jackets hosting the Ottawa Senators, and Doug, just developing, the number one goaltender will not be available.
They're saying 2 weeks minimum, big loss. Watching the game against LA the other day, not a great performance, but he's certainly been a guy that's held them in most games. So that's a big loss. They bring up Anton Forsberg from Springfield.
And the Los Angeles Kings start their road trip against the Philadelphia Flyers after sweeping a six-game homestand, yet will play shorthanded tonight. And we literally mean shorthanded tonight because of cap issues. They're only, and the Kopitar injury, they're limited to a 19-player roster.
The hit on Kopitar, it was a clean hit the other night, but it jolted him. And he was on the plane to go to the game. I'm not sure where it stands in, but Voinov makes it complicated, Nick.
To me, this is one of the most ridiculous things when it comes to this whole salary cap thing. And, you know, not going back to the CBA or anything, but I look at this and I go, how dumb is this? How dumb that someone goes and they spend $100, $150 ticket. And the organization has to turn around and say that we've got to cut our roster short. I'm trying to put in my mind what this could compare to. If you went to a Broadway show in New York and you sat at the beginning of the show and you had someone come out and saying, there'll be no one playing the part of Sophia because the producers kind of went over their budget. So, I'm sorry, but you're not going to see the full show or that you're not going to get full value for your $150. I sit there and I go, someone's paid to go see a full team. And tonight they don't get a full team. Okay, I don't care if it's a star player or a guy that sits on the bench for a minute. I don't care. But to come not full meal deal, but is not right.
The problem is the Kopitar's out. So that complicates it big time for them because it's a short term and they can't put them, you can't put them out long term. But it's the Voinov situation that has complicated this. And what's the NHL supposed to do? I mean, it's such a delicate issue. I mean, the NHL's got to be careful. So eventually, the LA Kings and the NHL have got to come to some sort of agreement because this could go on for 6 months.
Not only
and
that,
if that's
Matt,
the case, every time there's an injury, they're going to be in trouble.
There should be a kid maybe waiting for his opportunity. He's in the minors. He's worked hard. This is when an opportunity now for someone that earns it to come up. You can't even bring anybody up.
When's the last time this happened? Was it Calgary?
Calgary.
Was the last time this happened?
So. This is from Lisa Dillman. You can follow her on Twitter at RealLisa. Per Dean Lombardi, the Kings won't be able to recall a player for the Kopitar spot. She goes on to say, quote Lombardi as saying, it's one thing for the player to have to pay a penalty. It's another thing for 19 other guys to have to go out there shorthanded.
And the fans pay a penalty. The Kings fans pay a penalty. Everybody pays a penalty here, and it's just dead space. Dead money. Like, there should be... There should be somebody filling that spot up that deserves it in the minors.
But don't you think that this takes it to a head that when the league sees this going on today, there's going to be a meeting of the minds. I'm all for Voinov being suspended. I'm all for that. Look, I get the situation, and it's a terrible situation.
It's a sensitive one.
It should be. But I believe the NHL in LA, and what are your guys thinking? Do you not think that this will cause something to happen here? Vis-a-vis relief.
Something.
I mean, what do they do?
Something.
But I'll tell you what, this is delicate for the NHL. For the NHL to come and say, we're going to give relief, I don't know.
It's the double-edged sword of you want a salary cap, you want to go down that path. This is the stuff that can happen here. And like, look at Toronto right now. You know, what did they say at the beginning of training camp that spots are open. It's yours to win. Well, why is Stuart Percy in the minors if that's the case?
Well, that's gone on.
I'm just saying though, this is unfortunately some of the evils of having a salary cap, and now you've got situations when it's not what it appears to the fans.
Are we wrong that is Dean not making a pretty valid point? Voinov deserves what he gets according to the law.
But say the law decides that they don't want to deal with it till March.
Well, that's it. That's my point. And I think the league has got to step in here. I really do. So we'll see.
Anyways, that's my rant for today.
Do you really think, though, that people go see the 20th forward?
No.
You're missing the point. You're missing the point.
Well, I understand.
A full roster. They deserve a full roster. Okay. They are shorthanded. There is an advantage. There's a distinct advantage for your opposition to have one more body in play than you.
And
I don't care. I'm not here to judge who's better, who's worse. Who it doesn't matter if this guy stinks or he's great. The bottom line is it's not even. It's not an even playing field tonight. You are one man short. And the fans deserve better.
And that one man is Kopitar.
But yeah, and the bigger thing is, if there's one team in the league that plays
fourth line,
plays its players. I mean, we sat in the playoffs last year and marveled at the amount of ice time the fourth line players, whether it was Richards moving up in the lineup or Clifford or whoever, Lewis or King or Nolan, whoever happened to be in that spot was an important player. So. Anyway, I think it's time to step in and you
fix it.
Yeah.
Players Association, the league, the owners, Gary Bettman's office. You can't allow these situations.
It's the
to
danger
happen.
of being so close to the cap.
So that's their problem, but being close to the cap with injuries, Darren, is one thing. Being close to the cap in this situation, I just think it's a different situation. I really do. Now, I don't know how the NFL, with their situation, I mean, they can release guys. They can, there's no guaranteed contracts per se. It's a different situation.
Boy, LA's going out on this road trip. You hope that nobody else gets a minor injury.
Well, yeah. Well, what happens? What are they going to play with 17 next week? So I agree with Dean. And let's make it perfectly clear. We're not letting Voinov off the hook, for sure.
And Lombardi's been a pretty good cap guy. Obviously he's up towards it, but he retained an entire championship team, save for Willie Mitchell.
Versus what most people in a similar situation have had to do, the challenges.
So this
some
isn't
teams
are
championship.
But he also inherited long-term contracts that...
He traded for.
Yeah. And the best example is Jeff Carter, who... Yeah. Could be making $10 million,
but that's
not the
still
five.
On, that's
if,
still
if he,
on
if he would have timed it
because
a little
he traded
differently.
So the Los Angeles Kings playing one man short, 19 players going into their game against Philadelphia tonight. Flyers trying to get things going. Steve Mason's struggling. Ray Emery has their wins right now. You also have Columbus without Sergei Bobrovsky, another injury to that organization. Imagine. Cool. If they didn't have Ryan Johansson doing the unthinkable and playing the way he is.
Well, they went into the game yesterday with six of their top nine forwards. Like Atkinson's out because of the cut. Boone Jenner, who's an important young player, is out. Obviously, Horton's out.
I mean, Foligno.
Foligno now and, goes down. And, I mean,
and,
it's
and even the effects of watching Foligno go through that and what that can do, you know, for your but team.
The now, one guy,
thank goodness, he's
the one guy they can't afford to lose. Well, Johansson is on that list too, but
yeah,
they can't afford to lose.
What? Okay, Bobrovsky. What's the reason? I've talked to people around the league trying to figure out what's the difference between Ryan Johansson, and it seems like 98% of every other player that misses training camp and suffers, and a lot of them lose the entire year. A lot of them don't get going until the other half don't get going until halfway through the year.
I think if somebody's going to miss training camp, it's better to be a kid that maybe doesn't need that, you know,
guys. There's still no guarantees that, you know, I mean, it's going to be smooth sailing.
But nobody expected this.
Games. No, nobody. But he's a good player.
Yeah,
he's, you know, you want to bring it to the most common denominator. He's good. Yeah. He's really good.
Damian Cox will join us in just a little bit. The Edmonton Oilers pull out a win last night over the Montreal Canadiens, and the New York Rangers lighted up in the third period.
Wow.
To come back against the Minnesota Wild.
This is what, after playing almost half the game with five shots on goal?
Yeah. It was unbelievable.
The fans are just ready to run them out of the building.
Against Darcy Kemper.
And then came on, I hate to say it because I know you guys are going to yap and chirp about it, but is Nash not on pace for more than 82 goals?
No, he's playing lights out.
It's unbelievable.
If he plays like this in the playoffs last year.
We'll let him off the hook.
Why didn't he have a kid in the playoffs last year?
Unbelievable.
No, if we're going to beak him in the playoffs and criticize him, you have to compliment him. And he's scoring goals and every different facet, whether off the rush or in front of the net.
They're hanging in. I mean, that's a big win for a team that's, you know, missing Stepan and missing, you know, some key guys, Boyle, who they expect to be a real important power play guy. That is a the type of game that you win that you can really shake off some, you know, games.
Wild really lost their composure.
And it's like,
you don't see that. You don't see the Wild lose. Mike Russo's in therapy today, by the way. His Twitter, when that game changed, it just became depressing.
Usually it's Lundqvist bailing you out, not the other way around.
I guess Lundqvist read the riot act between periods, too. I guess it was some commentary. We've got a lot of guys speaking up in positive ways between periods, get their team going.
You did that for us before this show started.
Yes, exactly.
The Wild faced the Boston Bruins tonight. Okay. There's two ways to look at it. One, it's a homestand for the Edmonton Oilers to win four in a row. You can factor in that all four wins have been against Eastern Conference teams, or they just started getting it.
You can just say they tightened up defensively.
And beat a good team last night, beat the Tampa Bay Lightning to start this this winning streak.
Their kid line is matched up really well against the other team's best line. Just listen to the commentary, Yakupov. You know, we're paying attention to details. To hear him say that, him paying attention to details means he's around the net looking for goals or stretching out looking for breakaways. When you hear this kid saying it, obviously the message may be getting through in the room. And good for them that it's getting through a little bit because they needed it and they've played well.
Just even when he lost his stick and he went out to PK Subban, you're not on until 12. You're not on for another.
We'll continue this Oiler conversation as Damien gets settled.
And I asked why you were here.
So why? what are the real Oilers? Now we're into this conversation. They're back to 500. But they've had both ends of the extreme.
Well, in the last five games, they've given up less than two goals a game. And Ben Scrivens wasn't that busy. I think he had 19 saves last night.
But he's been good.
But they were good quality. Like, some of them are good quality, and they're time sensitive to the game where you need a big save. And I think defensively they've been better, but Scrivens obviously has been better,
guys,
too.
There was seven players played in that game last night that was on the team last year. There's been a major turnover there. And you've got a guy like Fane who comes in, $14.5 million, four-year deal. He knows how to play team defense. He can create a little offense. Pouliot gets his first goal of the year. you know, there's some there. You got to say that some of the moves have helped.
Scrivens did make 29 saves and
yeah, 29. Sorry,
he's been a star.
Edmonton had 19. Yeah, that's right.
But it'll be tomorrow night. Scotiabank Hockey, Wednesday night hockey on Sportsnet. They get the Nashville Predators. Yeah. So we'll see. But it is weird. That's not a lower end team. The Montreal Canadiens in the Eastern Conference, one of the best in the league. But they also have trouble in Alberta. Here's Damian Cox. So Toronto Maple Leafs against the Buffalo Sabres tonight at Air Canada Centre.
I should tell you guys something. Mm-hmm. Scott Moore is making a big Olympic announcement downstairs, and you're doing short track in sort of South Korea, and you're doing, what is the other?
Girls, ladies,
curling?
Hockey. Ladies hockey. Ladies hockey.
Women's.
That was Doug McLean saying.
And guess what? I'm not going.
Why not?
If I'm doing ladies hockey.
I think you'll go.
Kidding, ladies. Kidding.
Okay, so seriously, what's going on?
Well, I think the CBC's got the rights.
Now I realize why you came on.
See, that's right. I'm here to make an announcement. CBC has the rights, and then I think Rogers is. It's sort of going to be like last time.
But with different people.
So is there tennis? Is there tennis in the Women's Olympics?
Last time it was with.
Is there tennis in the Women's Olympics?
Just the summer, Doug. Follow along.
Which sport would you give these to? If you could pick a non
Well, for Doug, it's got to be something really simple. So I would say long track, where they just go round and around in the same direction. For Nick, you need something with a lot of contact. So figure skating.
Just the warm-up.
Put the helmet cam on them.
And what would you cover?
I've listened to you do hockey and tennis, and I'm not sure.
I like how he's moved into the analytics side because he's found a niche, and it's good. It's a good fit.
Nonviolent.
You should get a niche.
I've got a niche. We have a niche, and we scratch it regularly around here.
I've got my niche.
I came in here with a sore neck today, and I think I'm going to leave with a headache.
Buffalo,
if you missed the conference call, by the way.
If Buffalo wins in regulation tonight, they are 1 point behind the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And the Panthers are one behind them, are they not? With a game in hand.
And what happens if the Leafs win?
If the Leafs win, then in regulation, obviously the gap is we stop talking about it. But just got to make sure you get right cozy.
Yeah, I know this is strange in here. Right?
How bad is it in Leafland right now?
I think it's sort of the way it always is when they're not doing well. I don't think now is any different than any other time. I mean, haven't been around years. You know what this kind of reminds me of?
We have
Buffalo
the jerseys on the ice. We have people complaining
you know
about
what?
The crowd. We have the atmosphere.
I remember back in the, like, this is going to sound strange. It always seems to be this way when Buffalo comes to town. I remember in the early 70s when Punch Imlach came for the first time with the Sabres to Toronto, and the Sabres beat the Leafs and everybody was up in arms. I don't think it's anything different. I think that, I mean, did either of you guys pick the Leafs? Any of you guys pick the Leafs to make the playoffs?
No.
No, you didn't?
No.
No.
So I'm the only one here. So you guys should all think this is exactly what you thought was going to happen, right?
I wouldn't say that I would expect that. When Chera wasn't there, coming off a good win, that they would throw a stinker like they threw. I wouldn't expect that. Do I expect them to make playoffs? They're one of five or six fighting for the last spot. I think that's realistic. But I didn't expect a stinker like they threw the other night. And I'll tell you what I didn't expect. I didn't expect Gardner, Phaneuf, up and down. It's up. It's good one game, it's average, and it's bad. I was caught off guard by that performance the other night. I really was.
The other thing, too, is that it's for the Leafs, it's always like twofold. It's what you expect on the ice, but then there's that the game off the ice, right? The whole, you know, no-ness, Carlisle, that whole fiasco with Tim Lewicki, which is the biggest joke out there, you know, that he came in here and he was going to be this savior and he's bailing less than two years. And now, you know, the Kyle signing as an assistant general
Kyle
manager,
Dubas.
Kyle Dubas, and where that came from, and how it caught Nonis off guard, and now Mark Hunter. And it's like, if you think for 1 second Mark Hunter left the most lucrative junior program in the history of the game to come here without some certain, you know, not guarantees, but some promises, and, you know, you ask me, I mean, I think it's pretty close who the next general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs is going to be. So all of that, to me, is what is also the issues with the Leafs. Just not the fact that Gardner missed another check in his own zone.
Or they're 1-4 at home.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing never changes with the Leafs, and that's that there's constant change. There's constant turnover, whether it's ownership or management or coaching. Or I mean, you never see anybody be a coach here for 10 years or a manager for 15 years like you do in other markets. Or owners sit there and own the team for 20 years.
Like or that assistant happens in coaches trades. Or assistant GMs.
It's just constant change. And that's one of the problems of that they encounter here.
What do you guys make of the Randy Carlyle decision to shuffle the lines?
Got to get some offense from somewhere.
I hope you're not shuffling the chairs on the Titanic. That's all, you know. Is it really going to matter if the guys aren't performing or stepping up?
The lines look pretty good in Long Island, or at least one of them did.
Yep.
You know, the big one did. You know what? To me, if you're coaching the Leafs and you've got a guy like Kessel and JVR, I would be mixing them up more than he's mixing them up. I would go into games with the idea I'm going to double shift Kessel sometimes. I'm going to double shift JR sometimes. I'm going to get them out with Lupul and the other kid, Kadri, on the off time versus a Winnick there. I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to mix it up to challenge the other coaches.
Well,
and I don't think he does enough of that. So I like it. I like the fact that he's going to mix it up a little.
What I don't think that they saw coming was just the predicament that they put themselves when it comes out to filling out the lineup card on the blue line.
Okay, one sec. Before we go to the blue line, Nick, let's go back to the playoffs with L.A. What was the most intriguing thing about the L.A. Kings coaching in the playoffs by Daryl Sutter? It was moving guys around in the lineup. It was putting Richards up. It was putting different guys with Kopitar. It was moving people around and kept the opposition off guard continually. I think it's a good thing.
But he had his core guys.
They're not LA.
Shuffling game,
they're
right?
Not LA.
They're not LA. But their top six has got to be moved around and become a more. You've got to get some people out with Kadri and Lupul to give them a chance to contribute. And I think putting a JVR and a Kessel and mixing it up. Putting Lupul on the opposite side, putting JVR. I mean, try it.
It's Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, simulcast on Sportsnet, the NHL Network in the United States with Darren Millard, Doug McClain, Nick Kiprios, and Damian Cox with us in studio. What I loved about Doug's example about the LA Kings is and all of us were waiting because we weren't really sure where he was going with that. No, not one of us chimed in on asked the question.
I was wondering why you guys were so slow on it. Okay, we brought you on here. Say something.
I can't. You guys, I'll jump in whenever I'm asked. But I think moving the lines is one thing. They've got to get some offense from the back end, you know, that helped them. But
I think some defense.
Yeah, I was going to say, we always end up talking about the lines. They got to get their goals against down. Their shots against are down marginally. So they're slightly better there. Their penalty killing is slightly better. But when you watch, look at, you guys were talking about Edmonton before. Why'd they win that hockey game last night? They kept the puck out of the net. They got better goaltending. They played better defense. It's been a long time since this team has been a rock-solid defensive team. A long time.
And Bernier, guys, we all said it to a man here. That if Bernier had to have an MVP season for this team to get in. I mean, an MVP of the Leafs. Mm-hmm. And look, we all like Bernier as a goalie, but guys, he is not.
And he had a good camp too.
Good enough yet.
Training camp.
I think the quality of chances are dramatically down versus, I don't care about the shots as much, but the quality of chances to me would appear to be down. Versus what he was facing last year.
Do you have a percentage, like analytical percentage?
Well, I'm going to do some work on that this afternoon.
His save percentage is 904, which isn't terrible.
What's that?
His save percentage is 904. But he's given up some bad
goals. It's not good enough.
Nine is not good anymore in the NHL. It used to be a benchmark. It's not anymore.
It's not terrible. He's. I think he's close. But the goals, he's given up some stinkers.
Yeah.
So are they lucky they didn't trade James Reimer?
Well, I don't know. I like James Reimer. I think he's a real good backup. I don't see them getting in the playoffs with him as their number one guy now.
We know that these guys are a three-game win streak away from everybody think they're the best team in the history of Toronto. That's just the way it goes in Toronto. They'll win if they win this game. They beat Columbus
Everybody's
on Friday.
Ready to bury the oil.
And who they play on Saturday, everybody will get excited again. It's the nature of Toronto.
I will get excited if they beat Buffalo. That's a big, that would, you know.
Well, I think the Buffalo
seriously,
games,
this team should be better than what they're playing. Although, after
but you
the
said
island,
they weren't going to make the playoffs.
But there's five teams that are going to fight for that eight spot. There's four teams that are in the East. Yeah. There's three at the bottom.
And right now they're closer to Florida Florida's.
Sabres beat the Sharks the other day.
Okay,
Sabres beat San Jose the other day.
But San Jose right now, I've never seen a team so messed up right now as
then San Jose went in and beat Anaheim.
Yeah, so they're good today.
I was going to. It's weird.
I just wanted to. Well, there was so much. I mean, everybody going on there that they rallied.
Everybody was ready to fire Dallas Eakins, and all of a sudden the Oilers look great. It's the league. I remember it was like this last year. Streaks. Teams going streaks both directions.
The one thing that Toronto's could been. Help them too, like I was going to say on the back end, is there's just no stability there, right? It's
there
like
should be though.
Jake Gardner out of the lineup. It's well because Stuart Percy stepped up and had a great camp and he started off well. Like I was saying this earlier in the show, like there's no real reason that he should be down in the minors right now,
other
except
than
for
the fact
one.
He can.
Yeah, and that's what
it has to be there.
And that's
which really
on.
Throws out the whole theory that hey, we got jobs to win. No,
that's been going on.
It's not
true. That's been going on for 20 years.
You can't.
What's
you
that?
You
that
can't.
A guy goes to the minors if he's on a two way. You don't want to do. I like
Mac,
you know how many times we've said
he
meetings?
Should be up.
I know
he should be
except
up. He's down because you're worried about what it's going to do to Jake Gardner now being in and out of the lineup. And I think we've had some idea.
Or because you're going to lose a guy in waivers.
But wouldn't you guys agree?
Take away your depth.
You can't play three guys. 24, 21, and whatever, 20 on the back end and hope to be successful in this league. You can't play three defensemen under 24. Who does and is any good? So somebody had to go. He's the guy you can send
if you
down.
Do, you have to live with the mistakes.
Oh, and, yeah, you have to say we're not going to be very good because we're playing three kids on the back end.
And guess what? It doesn't hurt Percy to go down and play in the American Hockey League and bring him back up in a month whenever they have an injury. He's proven he can be a good young guy.
He's also proven that he's got one of the better first passes on your blue line
the
right now.
The bigger question is, where do they go with Gardner? All of a sudden, what was it, game two or game three, he's a healthy scratch. And you know, for a kid coming in who thinks he's going to have a big year, he's a puck possession guy. He's a defenseman that rushes the puck.
Didn't the Gregory Campbell goal say something about where this guy is right
but
now?
But he's one guy that I'm feeling for him right now because it's getting close to the point where something's got to happen with Jake Gardner.
Why?
Because
Tim and Sid are still talking about your opening night 1, 2, 3,
right.
4, 5, 6.
He's up and down. And
Nick and I talked about this the other day, and we saw this. And my best comparison, and I know it's not perfect, was Todd Gill once was they were going to run him out of this town, and he was 24, 25 years old, and he became a solid NHL defenseman. Yeah. You cannot judge
you
these guys at 24.
I'm not talking
Jake
about
Gardner to Todd Gill.
Why not?
Because Todd Gill would be the first one in that corner to get the puck.
They were different players.
Jake. You can't compare them.
No, but what I can compare them as is you cannot judge 24-year-old defensemen. Hey,
just
you
a
can't.
Minute.
I'm
not
yeah,
suggesting.
You can when he can't. Doesn't go and get the puck first.
But well, okay, Todd Gill would have looked.
You got a timid
Todd
guy.
Todd Gill would have looked completely confused.
But not
people
timid.
What about Fred Bromistra?
That's just one element.
It's a big one. It's the NHL.
What about Freddie Bromistra?
You cannot be timid.
You can't both yell on both sides.
Okay, let me make.
One yelling at me at a time.
Okay, he's bleeding from the ears.
Let me clarify something here.
Like here in the middle.
But let me clarify something, Damien.
You should have called in.
I didn't suggest.
Just call in next time.
It's not always get rid of him.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that he has to go. I'm saying something has to change with Jake Gardner.
It's not working right now.
That's right. So something has to change. So it's a different partner playing with him all the time. Live with a couple of things till he gets his confidence. I'm not suggesting run him at it. I'm suggesting try something else with him. And you've got to do that with young players because you can't afford to move kids that have that kind of talent.
I agree.
One final.
You can if he just refuses to pay the price in his own zone. Sorry.
But eventually you've got to say, to me, when you get sat out game two or three of a season, you're, as a young player, you are rattled big time.
Yeah, see, I mean, when he played
I'm
the playoffs.
I'm not saying he
when,
needs to run anybody out of the building.
No, I agree.
When you saw him play against Boston in the playoffs.
NHL hockey in his own zone.
I appreciate what you're saying, yeah. But I think you got to work with guys.
Here's what may eventually be the biggest and easiest way to summarize the Toronto Maple Leafs is when they lose at home, you ask the question, was there a jersey thrown on the ice? Was there a sweater thrown on the ice?
And don't get against, us started on that one
against,
again.
But no, I'm not going to get right or wrong on that. But
I hate that. I hate it.
But that's why they do it. I got news for you. That's why they do it.
But they
because
don't, but they don't.
You hate it and it's sensitive.
Right.
But
Buffalo.
That's the whole point of it. And I hate it too.
As a player and a hockey
would
person,
burn
you
me
hate
more
it.
Than to see that.
Oh, yeah.
But they know it.
But Buffalo
that's why they
is,
do it.
Is not expected to be very good this year. They've won two games. This is a trap tonight.
Well, they just got to go out and play good hockey. I mean, Buffalo's 0-30 on the
just
power play.
Can't, snuggle up a little bit.
Buffalo's 0-30 on the power play. They got 11 goals on the season. You go out and play a solid game. But if you get everybody work, we got to do something special. We got to win this game by four. Then you could end up
if
in
you,
trouble.
If you play like you did Saturday night, you
don't
lose this game.
Cheat. Yeah. Don't the, cheat. As the, yeah, is the yeah. If you're the coach, yeah. You're going into the game saying, don't cheat. It's Buffalo. Yeah, they're struggling. But we've got to get our game to where we can compete with the good teams. And it starts with cheating. And a little bit of what Nick said, cheating in your own end, cheating all over the ice.
There's a funny thing, you know, the opening game, I know we got to go, right?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, their opening game against Montreal at home, they were pretty good. And Montreal was, it was a good hockey game. Something has slid on home ice since that night. Now they got to get it back.
And I've got a quick hello to Graeme Bowers, big fan of the show from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Tolerates you, Nick. Tolerates you.
But hates Damien.
but likes me and Darren.
Oh, okay.
And you wonder why, Darren, I always say, no thanks.
I did give you the option to call in.
You know what? We
you know what?
Gave us some good stats
today. I
got to
remind it again.
We got some good stats.
You got a little analytics for us before you hustle out?
Nothing.
Can
you'd
you do your
nothing,
board?
Nothing you'd understand.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me about it.
Anyway, let's not go there.
I think the Chicago Blackhawks go back with the kid tonight. We'll explore that. The three stars and a busy night in the National Hockey League. Thanks to Damian Cox
Thank
for coming
you,
in.
Thank you, Damian.
Hockey Central returns on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network, simulcast in the United States on the NHL Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Getting you set for a jam night in the National Hockey League. City Montreal, Sportsnet Flames has Calgary at home to the Canadiens, and Carolina is in Vancouver on Sportsnet Canucks. Carolina welcoming back Eric Staal in that game from his upper body injury. Scott Darling, who you watched on Rogers' hometown hockey on Sunday as the Chicago Blackhawks beat the Ottawa Senators. Darling goes again against the Anaheim Ducks tonight. And a couple of issues last night that we'll get to in just a moment. But first, the Hockey Central three stars. Darren Millard along with Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean. Did you ever send yours in? Because you guys...
Where do you go first, too?
No, I just...
Why do you go first?
I responded first.
But then you also go on air first.
Okay.
First,
taking the guy I took.
No. I'm going with Nail Yakupov of the Edmonton
I
Oilers.
To pick.
So it's affirmation.
But that's okay. You go. It's your show.
Affirmation from Nick Kiprios that it was a good pick. Another goal, his second of the year. But I've liked his game more consistently and more of a 200-foot game this year in Nail Yakupov, and he's taken advantage of a couple of opportunities.
Do you want, stock's rising now, so you could get more for him when you trade him.
Trade him. So when he's bad, you trade him, and when he's playing good, you trade him.
No.
No.
You got to trade him when people think he's really good.
He's part of the
selling high, Darren.
Part of the Edmonton Oilers winning four games in a row. That was a tap-in last night, but right place, right time, and Nail Yakupov. Nick?
I'll go Ben Scrivens. Tough start to the year. And then I think since the homestand, less than two goals a game. And he gives his team a chance. 29 saves last night. Some of them quality. You know, Gallagher buzzing around the net. They had the disallowed goal. You know, he battles. He's
good on him, because it's not LA, and you know, he had great success there for that that short stint there, but it's another thing now to come to Canada and be a number one type of guy. And I think that he's been the main cog. I know you talk about the Nuge and his line, but yeah, you can't win in this league if you don't get great goaltending, and Scrivens is he's done the job.
Since the injury to Fast, he's really stepped his game up. And look, this is a guy that can get hot, and they need it. I mean, they needed it desperately, and they got it. And good on Edmonton. And I'm anxious to see if they can keep this going a little bit here.
Who'd you like last night?
Well, I mean, I think you know.
Rick Nash?
That would be just say my godson.
I've taken some heat, justifiably so.
Yes.
But you got to give the guy credit. He's on pace for 82 or 83 goals.
Which is it?
He's got 9 goals in how many games? I haven't looked. All I know is he's got 9 goals.
So what do you think the difference is?
He
really dedicated himself in the offseason.
I think that Rick needed to work harder in the offseason.
And what he said he did? A lot of sprints.
Right.
A lot of track work.
I thought he looked sluggish. His legs looked sluggish. I thought in the playoffs, and we talked about it, conditioning, I think, may have caught up to him. He wasn't, you know, when he was a young kid, he wasn't the hardest off-ice guy. And I think he's learned a valuable lesson. And let's hope it continues for the Rangers' sake and for his sake.
You know, when you got guys that good, sometimes it's easy to kind of just rest on your talents, you know. And they get older, and even if you lose a little bit, it's a lot if you don't have that mental toughness and that off-ice conditioning.
What I like, too, and I think the conditioning is a big part of it, and I think he's doing it without stepping. You know, he's playing a lot with Hayes, the kid who was a healthy scratch, and he had been Rick's centerman. So, I mean, he's finding a way to get it done without, you know, typically the guy that he's played with a lot in that stepping. So, yeah, I mean, look, I'm happy for him. But, I mean, you know, I'll take some heat on this, and I appreciate it. I don't mind.
I don't think you should take heat on this. He deserves it.
No, we're happy that you finally got one
all
right.
All those wimps out there that are... But
you don't have to chirp them. You're right now. right.
But you know what ticks me off is you had Yakupov being traded. Now you're picking him. The other day,
had him.
You did a big... Didn't you do a feature
should be... PJ Stock. Don't mix up fourth line slugs.
But you had Eberle being traded the other night.
Still should trade him.
Oh, to the point tomorrow night on
and
Scotiabank.
And Ovechkin. You had some, I want to, let's delve into your Ovechkin commentary.
That he's coachable?
Yeah. Yes. I liked it. I thought you were very solid in that. You won that segment.
I won that segment.
To the point, brought to you by JP Weiser's on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. Doug McLean against Nick Kypreos tomorrow night in the second intermission of Nashville against Edmonton. Montreal trying to bounce back tonight against the Flames. Carolina going for their first win of the year against the Vancouver Canucks. And a couple of incidents to reflect on in the Rangers and Wild game last night. John Moore on Eric Halla. Do you think... I thought it was bad.
I didn't like it. And for poor John, a former first-round pick of the Blue Jackets, that is a repeat offender situation. I think he's going to get dinged. I really do. I didn't like the one in the playoffs. I like this one less. I think he pays a price of 4 or 5 games here.
I thought it was avoidable, and I think that plays a big part of it as well, that you probably would have had an opportunity or two to back off, lay off.
Got him in a real vulnerable spot.
He did.
And Nick, this is John Moore has become an important player for the Rangers. We watched him through the playoffs last year. This guy stepped his game up, and you know, you want him to be physical, but avoidable. And you know what? We're getting to a point where people won't tolerate this stuff anymore. And we've seen the players really adapt.
I don't think it's going to be a in-person hearing. I think it's a phone hearing.
Which means less than 5.
Yeah.
Chris Kreider on Jonas Brodin. Moore was tossed, as was Kreider.
See, when I looked at it last night, I thought the guys on Hockey Central tonight did a great job of breaking it down. And Scott Morrison and Billy Jaffe, and they showed it. How Brodin had actually eased up. He pulled up a little bit.
He tried to shield the puck, protect it.
And I think that help Kreider not get suspended. I mean, Kreider would have, if he just would have pushed him, but because of how Brodin tried to protect himself, I think it saved Kreider.
So he tried to protect himself, gets drilled into the boards, and then it's...
He got shoved.
Pretty darn hard.
I don't know if they can play it one more time, but take a look at where the contact was made.
At the goal line, right around the goal line.
This isn't that dangerous.
Oh, I think that's more dangerous than
three feet off
the boards
is dangerous. Not goal line shoves.
But see, Darren,
Goal line shoves.
The problem for me,
it looks bad. I know it looks bad. You know why it also looks bad? This guy's coming about 1,000 miles an hour. He's one of the fastest guys.
And he's 240.
And he's huge.
But here's what bothered Darren.
It looks worse than it was.
Instead of easing up like Brodin did, he should have tried to wheel
that. That same contact.
Because he did it at the last second. I think that's what saves Kreider. I don't like the look of it. Mm-hmm. I hate hits like that. But I think Kreider gets off because of that.
That same shove 3 feet off the boards instead of the goal line is, I don't know, 5-10 games. Yeah. Same thing. But there was room. There was room for him.
I think Brodin was really, really lucky.
Yeah, he could have been hurt. And he was cut, was he not?
And so the Rangers down 2 storm back and win the game. So the LA Kings should be in a good spot tonight, down a player.
Just interesting on that, Joe Micheletti, and watching the Ranger broadcast, Joe Micheletti, the Rangers commentator, has been doing a lot of, Maloney's been doing
a lot. Mahoney was on Police Academy.
Mahoney was my grade 10 physics teacher in Summerside. But anyway.
He was the cop in Police Academy.
Anyway.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, I think.
Dave has been doing a lot of conversation about Kreider's not knowing when to hit and when not to hit, and because of his speed and size and strength. And with the way this guy flies around out there at 240 or 245, I mean, this guy doesn't know his own strength. And that's been a big conversation prior to this hit the last couple of games I've watched.
He is a powerful man.
Powerful. And can he fly?
Fast.
Let's not forget.
And Anthony DeClair scored his first NHL.
And how fast
is he?
And how good has this kid been?
How fast is he?
He's been very...
Ask Heels.
And let's not forget, Kreider
Ask Heels?
Yeah. Well, he's got the gun.
Oh, he usually does the radar gun.
Yeah,
he carries it with him at all times.
Glenn Healy will be part of Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey tomorrow.
I don't think he
is.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Who else is on that show?
You.
I am.
Doug. Elliot. Myself.
It's a good show.
Damien.
It's a good show.
Romanuk. Gene Principe is on it.
I think what we should do is watching.
Can somebody remind me when there's a conference call?
You're 0-3 on the conference.
Can somebody just please call me and say it's coming up?
Watching you on the demo on Saturdays.
Yes.
You're a natural. Like I think they should get that.
That's a little
special. I think they should get that plastic type of stuff so you can wear your skates on it. Like you see those. What is it called?
The synthetic ice.
Yes. That would even make it more.
I have that.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of sheets of that at home.
We should bring it in so Nick can put his skates on him and Kelly when they're doing that price push-off.
Put a good word in for you. Maybe we can get you on a Saturday night. You're not scheduled for Saturday night.
I was, but I got moved off.
You did, eh?
Yes. Really.
Keep working hard.
No, I'm fine.
They're going to do a cool thing on why it is now that we have all these massive goalies. These guys are 6'6 and 6'7, so Heels is going to explain that. By way of some of his
older 5'8"
10.
Eight.
Well, he's listed at 5'10".
I know, but he's shrinking because he's getting old now. It's got that grandma theory. He's lost like 2 inches since he's retired.
So he's going to be on the demo wall. That's tomorrow night, 7:00, as we work our way towards Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. We have Washington and Detroit, and then Nashville Predators in against the Edmonton Oilers. You know what? There hasn't been a lot of talk this year on a couple of teams, one of those being St. Louis and the other one being Arizona. Just kind of
I hope they're
mucking
over
their
that
way through.
Virus.
Yeah.
You know, somebody mentioned to me that like they're not sure, but maybe it could have been even the mumps.
Where?
Going through California out of Anaheim.
The visitors' locker room.
Because really? Minnesota went through it too.
Really?
The bumps or the mumps?
The mumps.
That is do you ever have the mumps?
Viral, I think.
Do you have the mumps as a kid?
No, but it's the swollen glands, is it not?
No, I had it when I was a kid, and some people said it never went away. I got a little bit
I had
still.
The bumps during my career all over my head.
Thanks to Damian Cox for popping in and accepting that, along with Doug McClain, Nick Kiprios.
Really, Damian, so. Just call in next time, bud.
Enjoy the action tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow.